residencies to go on?
I think we only want a while.
I'm going to start with the while on this one.
While? Okay.
Okay, so we're going to start with math facts. I think I looked quickly at the while one, but we're going to start with that. So we looked at some loops up here, and now we're going to look at loops again. So let's start with math facts while loop. And I think that was the last thing we looked at. Or maybe it wasn't. Anyway. Okay. So I started out and I first, again, I'm embedding these in HTML. So I put out a header in HTML before I even came to the script. And then after the script, I wrote the end of the math facts. That's also in HTML. Okay, so I've got some HTML mixed into this, and now I am putting in JavaScript. So, when I'm ready to put in the JavaScript, again, remember that I need to put it inside the script tags so that the browser knows that it's JavaScript. Okay, I have to clue the browser into what's happening. So then I started out and I said, okay, I'm going to set up a variable called count. And I am going to use count to tell me how many times I want to do the loop. Okay? There are a variety of ways that I can tell it when I want to get out of a loop, but this time I'm using count. Okay, so I'm saying while count is less than or equal to 3. Okay, so as soon as count hits 4, I'm out. So inside I said, okay, figure out answer. Answer equals count plus count. So if count is a 1, answer is going to be 2. And then I said, all right, document write. Now what I've got going on here is I said write the contents of count. Concatenate that. That plus means concatenate. Concatenate that with a plus sign with 2 spaces around it. Concatenate that with count again. Concatenate that with an equal sign with 2 spaces around it. Concatenate that with answer. And concatenate that with a BR. And this time I have the BR with the slash. It's never needed. But it's always okay. So I'm concatenating that with a BR. So what does it end up writing? It ends up writing 1 plus 1 equals 2, and then breaking down to the next line so that I'm ready on the next line. So now I have to add 1 to count because I need to change it. So again, remember, the 3 things that I need to do when I'm doing a loop is I need to set, I need to check, and I need to change. And all these have to do with the control. Oops. So all those have to do with the control. So I have to set the control, I have to check the control, and I have to change the control. Okay, if you don't have those 3 things, your loop may not give you the result you want. So then I add 1 to count. I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. 2 plus 2 is going to be 4. I'm going to write out 2 plus 2 equals 4, and I'm adding 1 to count. So count's now a 3. So I go back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yeah, it's equal to 3. So I come down and say 3 plus 3 equals 6. And then I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6, and I skip down to the next line. And then I add one to count, it's now a 4. So when I go back up there, is count less than or equal to 3? No, it's not, so I'm out of here. And so I drop out of the script, because that's the bottom of the script, and I write out the end of the math facts. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. Okay, the next one, I'm nesting this. Now this one is starting to get a little trickier. So let's talk about how this one works. Okay. I am starting out with count. And I have count in, and I have answer. Okay. So I start out by saying count equals 1. Notice I didn't give count in a value. And you'll see why as we go along. So I now come into this loop. And it says, do this while loop while count is less than or equal to 3. So I drop down into the loop. And once I get in the loop, I set count in. Okay, and again, when we come back, I will try to explain why I did it there. So now I am nesting a while loop. I'm putting a while within a while. Okay, if I look over here, I am going to have count, and the inner number is going to be count in, and then I have answer. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I am going to have a loop within a loop. The inner loop is controlling count in. And count in goes 1, 2, 3. Count stayed the same. Count stayed as 1. So the outer loop is controlling count. And the inner loop is controlling count in. Okay? So, I'm now said count in equals 1, and I've said while count in is less than or equal to 3. So I go into that inner loop. And in the inner loop, I say, okay, answer equals count plus count in. So answer is a 2. And then I do a document write, and I say count plus count in. So 1 plus 1 equals answer, so 1 plus 1 equals 2. And then I skip down. So I write out the line, 1 plus 1 equals 2. Okay, so now I go back up. I add one to count in, sorry. I add one to count in after I write. And then I go back up. This is the inner loop. And this is the outer loop. And what happens is, once I get into the inner loop, I stay there and let it run its entire cycle. So the inner loop is running its entire cycle. So I go back and I ask, is count in less than or equal to 3? It's 2. Is it less than or equal to 3?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so therefore I enter the loop and I say answer equals 1 plus 2, so answer is now 3. I write out 1 plus 2 equals 3, and then I add 1 to count in. And I go back. is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes. So what do I do now? I come into the loop, I add, and 1 plus 3 gives me 4. I write out count plus count in equals 4, and I add 1 to count in. So I've now written 1 plus 3 equals 4, and now I've added 1 to count in, and I go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3?
No.
No. 4 is not less than or equal to 3. So what happens? That means I'm done with this loop. So I drop right down below the loop, and I add 1 to count. So count is now a 2. And then I loop back to the outer loop. Okay? So now at the outer loop, I'm saying, do this while count is less than or equal to 3. Is count less than or equal to 3?
Yes.
Yes. So I go down, and here's why this is important. The first thing I do is reset count in. Because if I didn't reset count in, it was already 4. And so I was going to hit this question, 4 was not less than or equal to 3, so I wouldn't do the inner loop. So I had to reset it. And I want to reset it just before I enter it, so that every time I go back to the outer loop and drop down into the inner loop, I will reset before I get to the inner loop. Does that make sense? Okay, this is tricky stuff, so if it doesn't make sense, ask. Yeah?
You have the count plus the count. It's, you don't have the parse integer there because it's a number, correct?
Well, here I'm not actually adding. I want to concatenate.
So you can.
Okay.
Here I want to concatenate. You know, up here, that's a good question. As I told you, I sometimes get away with things. But in fact, safe would have been to put the parse in there. Somehow, again, the browsers are making the decisions. And since I set that to an actual number and set that to an actual number, it seems to understand.
You are always safest in a add situation if you convert. But lots of times the browser, picks up clues that tell it, oh, the person wants to add. And this is one of those examples where it picked up the clues. And that's something that you kind of get used to after a while as to when it's going to believe you and when and we'll do an ad and when it's not. But if you are having problems with it, always, you can always put in there parse integer plus parse integer around that. It will never be wrong. Okay? It may be not necessary, but it won't be wrong. So you can always do that. Okay, so now I've set count in to 1. And I drop in, because count in is less than or equal to 3, so I drop in. Answer is going to be equal to 2 plus 1, right? Because count is 2, count in is a 1, so answer is going to be 3. And then when I write it out, you can see it. 2 plus 1 equals 3. That's the line that I'm writing, is 2 plus 1 equals 3. Because this is a 2, this is a 1, and that's a 3. So I'm writing 2 plus 1 equals 3. And then I'm adding 1 to count in, because again, I'm staying in the inner loop. So I go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. I add 2 plus 2, and it gives me 4. I write out 2 plus 2 equals 4, and I add 1 to count in, which is now a 3. I go back, and it says, is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I add 2 and 3 and come up with 5. And then after I've got the 5, I do a document write. 2 plus 3 equals 5. And then I add 1 to count in. And I go back and I say, is count in less than or equal to 3? The answer is no. So since the answer is no, I don't go in the loop, but I do the line right below the loop, which is adding 1 to count. And then I go back. So I go back up to the top, and I say, and I should have drawn a green line when I did that too, just so you can see that it went back lots of times. Okay, so it goes back up there, and I said, all right, is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I drop down, I reset count in back to a 1, and then I drop in and say, is count in less than or equal to 3? Now it is, because I just changed it to a 1. Okay? So I now add 3 plus 1, and I'm getting 4. And I write out document right. I do a 3 plus 1 equals 4. And then I add 1 to count in, which is now up to a 2. And I go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I add, go into the loop, add 3 plus 2, which gives me 5. And I write out 3 plus 2 equals 5. And I add 1 to count in. So I go back to the inner loop. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. I add 3 plus 3, and I get 6. I do a document write of 3 plus 3 equals 6. Count in gets added 1, 2, and I go back to the inner loop. Is count in less than or equal to 3? No, it's not. So therefore, I drop out of the loop, add 1 to count. So now I go back up. Is count less than or equal to 3? No, it's not. I'm done, and I'm out of here. Questions? Yeah.
On the count in on the inner loop, could that variable be 0 instead of 1 and still work the same way?
If you'd set the variable to 0, then your first math fact would be 0 plus something.
Okay.
And that's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. I didn't know if that, because we usually deal with mostly 1s to start off.
Math facts, you know, when my kids were learning math facts, they didn't have to learn the 0 plus 0. At least I don't remember that.
Yeah.
They started out with the 1 plus 1.
Exactly.
So. But if you wanted to put the 0 in there, definitely you could.
And it would still work, though.
And it would still work. Cool. Now, when my kids were young, I would actually had one of these where it presented the problem and they had to give the answer. And so while I was making supper, they had to do math facts. And the program would come up and, you know, give them the math facts, and they had to put in the answer. And then after a while, we made it random numbers and skip around and all that good stuff.
That's a good way to learn.
It is, and it kept me from, kept them busy
yeah.
while I made supper.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing, too. Okay, questions on this? I really suggest that you go over it at some point during vacation, since you have spare time, and make sure this makes sense to you, because we're starting to really kind of get into something that is not necessarily clear right at the first shot. Okay, now I'm going to make life even worse, because we're now going to look at another way of doing this. I don't want to really get out of here. And we're going to look at how it would work with the do while. And it really is the same. So if I look at a do while, okay, the do while, basically it's exactly the same. This is the first one that just gives one, that uses count for both numbers. It's basically the same with one exception. I put the do up here and I put the while at the bottom. So again, it's irrelevant to this problem, but remember we said that in a do while, it always does the loop once. Because it doesn't check at the top, it checks at the bottom. So it always does the loop once. But it really doesn't make any difference where I check. I'm going to get the same results. And just to show you that it can happen, and I would always do this with a while, so I'm not spending a lot of time on this. Or the third way of doing it, I will show you. The nested do while. So that is the nested do while. And I've got far too many things open. So essentially it's exactly the same. Except that I have a do, and the while is at the bottom of both of them. But it's actually exactly the same. And because I keep testing for count less than or equal to 3, it works exactly the same way. When count hits 4, it's out. When count in hits 4, it's out. So it works exactly the same way. Okay. My preference is for a while, unless I have a specific reason to do a do while. And maybe the specific reason is that I'm going over in class. But they essentially work the same. Questions on this? Yeah.
So do you always put the while on the same line as the story loop?
I always do, but it can be on the next line. And I don't know why that's my habit, but it is.
Just has to be directly after the end of the story loop. Just has to be directly after the end of the story loop.
Right. Okay, now I keep doing that, and I really don't want to make it go away. Okay, the next one is a for loop, and we haven't talked about for loops before. And actually, for doing something like this, the for loop is a wonderful thing. Okay, what the for loop does is, remember I told you you had to do 3 things. You have to check, and you have to change if you want a loop to work. Well, the for loop very nicely gives it to you all within the parentheses. So it says for I. And for some reason, the entire programming world, when they're using for loops, tends to use I and R, I and J as the names of the variables. And so I just do it out of habit. Those variable names could be anything you wanted to make them. Huh?
I've been using K and B.
Okay. But I and J, for some reason, tend to be very popular. You probably is. He says he's seen other things, that's fine. But I just automatically went to I on this as opposed to calling it count, which was really kind of stupid. I should have stuck with count and count in and been consistent all the way through. But I didn't. So think of I as count, okay? In the other programs, it's what I call count. So I'm now saying set I to 1, and then I have a semicolon. Check every time you go through this to make sure I is less than or equal to 3. Got a semicolon. Every time you come back, add 1 to I. I equals I plus 1. So every time you come back, add 1 to I. And that's writing all of the stuff right within the parentheses after the 4. Now, this works beautifully for something like this, but it doesn't work as well if you have a condition that is something other than checking the control. And there are other conditions, and it just doesn't work as well. But it works beautifully if what you want to check is the control. So inside here, I just said answer equals I plus I. And then I wrote out I, concatenated with equals, equals answer. And this time I didn't put the spaces around the plus or the spaces around the equals, so there are no spaces up there. It's all jammed together. Whichever one you like, it doesn't matter. I did it both ways. Notice I didn't add one to I because it's being taken care of in the for loop. And so that's all taken care of for me, and I don't have to worry about that. So I didn't have to add one to I. Okay, so that's a third kind of loop. Questions?
On this one, is it the plus sign or the parentheses that's doing the actual job of the plus sign?
The answer equals I plus I is doing the job of the add.
Okay.
The plus down here
is a
concatenate.
Yep.
So what I've got going on here is this plus is doing an add.
Yeah.
Okay. This plus is doing a concatenate.
And then that plus is saying literally.
And this plus is a little.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I've got just about every variation up there.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I've got an add, I've got a concatenate, and I've got a little. Okay. And the next one is going to be a nested for. Doing exactly the same thing. This time, when I wrote it, I put I equals 1 with no spaces and J equals 1 with spaces just to show you that it didn't matter. But notice that I don't have to add to I or J because that is taken care of automatically. I equals I plus 1, J equals J plus 1. Notice also that I didn't declare the variable J. It figures that out, and I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to declare the I. I could have declared J. Again, copy and paste is a wonderful thing. Okay, so I clearly copied from the last one and then forgot to write variable equals J. I could have set up a variable there for J. But I didn't have to. Because again, when the thing is on the answer, when it's an answer, when it's something I'm putting over on the left, it figures out that they meant to have it. And it puts it in for you. The other thing is that this set I at 1, so I didn't bother to set I up there. And as soon as I hit here, I don't need J equals 1 because it does it for me. You know, in the others, I had a line up there that said J equals 1. I don't need, or I said count in equals 1. I don't need that because what happens? As soon as it hits that for loop, it sets J to 1. So, this is kind of interesting. On a drop down, okay, so when I drop down, it will set J equals 1. So when I drop down from the thing above, and I drop down, it sets J to 1. But what do you think happens when it goes through the loop? Okay, when it goes through the loop, it adds one. So it's kind of smart.
It knows when it's hitting the loop first time, when it's dropping down and hitting it fresh. When it's hitting it fresh, it should set it to one. But it knows when it's going back, it shouldn't keep resetting it to one, because the change I asked for was to add one to it. So when it goes back, it adds one. That is just really so neat. Okay, that it understands that if I hit this by dropping down and I haven't just finished, I'm not in the middle of doing this loop over and over again, it will do the J equals 1. If I'm doing it over and over again, it does the J equals J plus 1.
What if you had your J set to 2, would it automatically add 1 to it?
Yes. Okay. So if, let's say, I wanted to do even numbers, okay, actually that would be...
Uh-huh. Oh, never mind. I got it. Yeah.
Okay, so I have this, and I'm going to close the ink layer. So if I wanted to start J out at 2, and every time I want to add 2 more to it, and what I want to do, when it's less than or equal to 6 or something. Okay, so let's try running that. Now let's try saving it so it actually takes a picture as opposed to a blank picture. Okay, so I'm going to say file, save as even number. And I want to save it on the F drive so I actually have it.
You gotta set it to HTML.
Thank you. No, I did.
No.
Oh, yeah, it's a good idea too, but mostly it will forgive you for that too. I tend to find all the ways that I get forgiven because I'm callous. Okay, so I've got this one now. So if I come over here and do file, open, and I'm going to my F drive, and I'm looking for something called even number. Okay, and notice how it went. J is now going, starting with 2, going up until it is no longer less than or equal to 6. And every time I go through, I'm adding 2 to J. So I've got 2, 4, 6, 2, 4, 6, 2, 4, 6. Okay? Because every time it hits the loop brand new, it adds, it resets or sets J to 2. And every time it loops back, 2 more gets added to J. And so I went 2, 4, 6. And I could have changed the outer one the same way, and then I would have got 2 plus 2, 2 plus 4, 2 plus 6. And then 4 plus 2, 4 plus 4, 4 plus 6. And then 6 plus 2, 6 plus 4, 6 plus 6. So I could have changed the outer one as well. Okay? Questions. Okay. So that's kind of an interesting problem. Okay. Now we are going to file new. Okay, I'm going to skip a few, and we will look at those after vacation. I want to go down to the guess number. So we're going to go down here to the one that says guess number 1. Guess. 1 guess. Okay, so this is a pretty worthless program because I am going to guess a number, but I have 1 chance. And if I don't get it, tough.
I got it on the first shot.
Me too.
That's because you cheated and looked at the little number at the top.
No, I just shot. I just
oh,
did
really?
It.
Okay.
Most of the time I don't.
I actually put the answer up there. so that when I was testing the program, I could see what the answer was. So I actually put the answer up there. Okay? So I'm saying, enter your guess, and if I put a 1, it comes back and says, you got it. And if I do that again and put in a 3, it says your guess is too high, yes. Okay. So, here's the code that I have. First of all, mathematically, getting a random number is a lot of work. And so most languages provide you a way to get a random number. It's probably not perfect, but it's close enough. Okay? So now I've set up a variable, and I call the variable the random number. Okay, so there are a bunch of math functions that you have, and one of them is math.random. And math.random gets me a random number. I want times 5 gets me a random number up to 5. And I want to start with 1 instead of 0, so I put a +1 there. So this is the start, and this is the basically means I'm going to get 1 to 5. Math floor means that it's going to be a whole number, because in fact, the random number is going to be a decimal number, and doing the floor gets me a whole number. So basically, this line can be copied if you want a random number. If you want a random number from 1 to 25, change the 5 to 25. If you want the random number from 1 to 100, change the 5 to 100, and you're going to get a random number in that grouping. Okay, but I just wanted a random number from 1 to 5. Then, as a debugging thing, I said, document write the random number so that I could see what it was. Mainly because if I can't see what it is, then I can't test whether the program is working correctly. Okay, so I want to show the random number so that I can see that it's working. Okay? Then I said document write BR, so I just wrote a blank line. And then I asked people to put in a guess. And I asked them to put it in, and I converted whatever they typed to an integer, if I could. If they type a letter, I can't do it. But if they did a number, I converted it to an integer. Because the floor took care of getting the random number as an integer. I want to compare integer to integer. So I said, put in an integer, and again, window dot does not have to be there. It can just be prompt. So now I'm checking, and I'm saying, if the number equals the guess, write you got it. Else, write your guess is too low. Else, write your guess is too high. Okay, so if the random number that it chose, let's say, was 2, and I put in a 1, then I'm going to get your guess is too low. If I put in a 3, I'm going to get your guess is too high. And if I put in a 2, you got it. Okay? And if I put in a 4, then it's too low. Wait a minute, I just did that backwards, didn't I? No, I'm okay. Yeah, 4 is too high. I'm okay. I forgot what I picked as the random number. Okay, so your guess is too low is the random number is 2 and I guess a 1. so my guess is too low. If I put in a 3, 4, or 5, then that's bigger than a 2, so my guess is too high. Okay. So if I look at a flow chart on this one, check here to restore. Come on, go away. Okay. So I'm starting out, and I am first getting a random number. Okay, so that's the first thing I'm doing. I'm not even going to bother to include the fact that I'm writing out the random number because that's really not part of the program. It's part of my debugging, that I'm putting it up there to make sure that the program's working. Okay, so then I come down and I'm asking, is the guess equal to the random number? And if the guess is equal to the random number, then I am writing out, got it. If the guess is not equal, then I'm saying, okay, is the random number greater than the guess? Okay, if the random number is greater than the guess, then I'm putting out the message that says low. Otherwise, I'm putting out the message that says high. And then I'm stopping. Probably should put the stop up there. Okay. So, right now I can do one guess. But what do I need if I want to be able to have you keep guessing? I need a loop. Okay? So, now I'm going to go look for a loop. So the next one down below, I just want to delete that, thank you. The next one down below is guess number one game. So you can see that the random number is 2. So if I guess 3, and click the OK, it comes back and tells me your guess is too high. If I put in the 1, it comes back and tells me your guess is too low. When I put in the 2, it tells me you got it. Okay? Now, if I want to do this again, I got to refresh. I got a 2 again. Random number's working very well. Okay. Wouldn't it be nice if it came up with something other than 2? Wow. Is there something wrong?
No, I got 4.
You got 4? Good. 3. I finally got 3. Good. Okay. So, we're going to look at the source for this. Okay, so I am putting up the random number just like I did in the other. The only thing in here is I added a loop, and apparently this time I decided to do the do while loop. And this would make sense because I want them to have to do it once. Okay, if you click that you want to play this game, I really want you to do it once. If you want to get out then, that's fine, but I want you to do it once. So I did a do while so that they would have to do it once. Okay? And what's my condition? My condition is when the random number is not equal, that means the explanation in front of it means not equal. Okay, so explanation and then equal means not equal. So what I'm doing is saying, do while the random number is not equal to my guess. As soon as it's equal to my guess, I want to get out of it. And I have the same thing going along up here. You got it. Your guess is too low. Your guess is too high. But I'm saying I want to do this while the random number is not equal to my guess. Yeah.
Would less than greater than work the same as?
Yes. Yep. Another way of writing that is the less than greater than sign right next to each other.
Space in between or no?
No. Okay, so in this case I have a loop. But notice that in doing this, if I look at the flowchart, I am getting the random number outside the loop. Because if I got the random number inside the loop, what would that mean? It would mean that every time I loop back, I got a new random number. So I just told them it was too high. They go back with that knowledge, and I present a different random number. That's not going to make for satisfied game players. Okay? So I have to get the random number outside. Okay? And then I'm going to drop in, and I'm going to put up a prompt. Did I put up a prompt on the other one, or did I skip that? I'll go back and look. It should have had a prompt. Okay, so I am putting up a prompt to bring in the guess. And then I am saying, okay, is the guess equal to the random number? If it is, then I'm writing got it. If it's not equal, then I am asking, is the random number greater than the guess? If it is, I'm putting out low. Otherwise, I'm putting out high. And then I come down. And at this point, because the question's at the bottom, I'm asking, is random not equal to the guess? If the random is not equal to the guess, then I am going to go back up here and let them make another guess. Okay? So I'm going back up and letting them make another guess. If they are equal, then I'm done. So if they're not equal, I'm going back up and letting them make another guess. Now notice that the question was down at the bottom because that's the way I coded it. Okay? I could have put a question at the top if I coded it with a while and asked the question first. But in this one, it made sense to do it at the bottom and to have them go through the loop once, so that I had a number to compare. If I put the while in first, then I really don't have a number to compare. So this is a good example of doing it that way. Okay, so now I said, all right, this is working. Now what I would like to do is not have to have them click something to say they want to replay the game. I want to ask them, do you want to play again, yes or no? So that I'm going to have two they can keep playing the game. Now, in order to do that, that means I need a loop within a loop. Because this loop is controlling a game. If I also want to let them play the game again, I'm going to need to have a loop within a loop. So I'm going to go to the next one, and that's guess number multiple games. So this time I got a 5, I'm going to put in a 4, and it's too low, I'll put in a 5, and I got it. And now it's saying, do you want to play again, yes or no? So I'm going to say yes. And so it says, enter your guess. I'm going to say 2. Do you want to play again? Yes. Enter your guess. Keep entering the right answer so that I do this. And then no, I'm done. So as soon as I hit no, I'm done. What?
I was using lowercase letters, and it automatically puts me back into a new game.
Right. And that, again, I'm actually going to talk about that. That, again, is the programmer's decision, how they ask that question. Okay, what he was commenting on is, while play again is not equal to capital M. So that means they can enter anything under the sun. But unless they follow directions and enter a capital M, they're going to play again. Okay, so I could have put in, I made it different and said I'm going to have the default be that they have to put in a Y in order to play again. Okay, so I could have set the default that way, but I made the choice that unless they said they wanted to quit, they were going to play again. And they had to put in a capital N in order to get out. And again, I can change case and make it Y or N. Okay, so now I've got 2 loops. Okay. So the first one, I am starting out by saying play again equals Y. Okay. So this particular loop here is going to be a game. That was the one I had on the other one. This loop is the do I want to play again. So that's the do I want to play again. So I have the inner loop in this case is controlling a game. When I get out of the game, at the bottom, right after the first is the random number not equal to my guess. When I get out, it says put up a prompt, do you want to play again, yes or no? And then it responds to that prompt. Okay? So the stuff inside the game are the same, but notice that inside the outer again loop, I have them generate a new random number. Because if I kept the random number out of that loop, it would be the same random number every time. But I put the random number inside the outer loop or the again loop so that every time if they want to play again, it goes back and it generates a new random number. Because I need a new random number to play again. Okay? And obviously, as I've said before, once this is working, you take out the document write, the random number. That's there to prove that this is working and to test it and make sure it's working. But I'm going to take that out once things are okay. Okay? So on this one, I'm going to go in. And I am saying, okay, I'm setting my variables, and then I'm setting the random number, and then I am coming in and taking in a guess, and then I'm checking the guess the way I did before. They're equal. Got it? Otherwise, is the random greater than the guess?
I'm putting out low. Otherwise, I'm putting out high. Close all of this up. And then I drop down and I say, okay, is, well, that's a house, it's a blue diamond.
If you can understand it, it's fine.
Then I've got the random number. If the random number is not equal to the guess, and if that's true, then I want to go back up to that point and have them make another guess. But I don't want to reset the random number. Then I ask a prompt down here again. And I'm going to then say, okay, is it not equal to n? And if it's not equal to n, I'm going to come back up here and get a random number again. So I'm entering up there. Otherwise, I stop. Only I don't have room to say I stop. But otherwise, I stop. Does that make sense? Okay, now I've got two things that I want to go over, and then we're gonna, and one of them involves looking at something. Okay, so over break, hopefully, actually over this weekend, but definitely over break, you're gonna get a letter from me assigning you a mentor. Okay. I have a group of alumni that graduated from this program that are working in the field that will basically are willing to correspond with you. It's an email mentor, and they're willing to correspond to you. So your assignment, and I will post that as well, is going to be to contact them and find out about their job and what they do and all that. Yes?
Is that related to what our major is or not at all?
Not at all. I have too many programming majors because I know them the best,
okay. And
not enough spread around.
Okay.
So it's going to be in the computer field. Now,
okay. They
probably work with somebody that may be closer to what you're... If I can, I assign, you know, some similarity, but I basically...
It's not always possible.
Right. And, you know, I've got a lot of programmers and a lot of networkers, so those two tend to get assigned that way. But other people tend to get assigned to whatever. But they all graduated from the CI program here at Bristol. And they all are working in the field. And so I just want, this paper that I'm going to ask you to do is going to have two parts. One is to talk about what they do, and one is what to do some research on what you want to do and talk about what you want to do. Okay, so that's where it stands. So you'll get that email from me over break. If you have time over break, you can contact them. If not, don't wait until after break if you're not around or whatever. But, you know, it's something that if you get it, you can contact them and start the ball rolling. They're very busy, a lot of them. Some of them do not get back to you as fast as they should or could or would. I send them an email reminding them that they're doing this again, and this has been happening now. But they've got, you know, they've got good jobs, and they're busy. So anyway, it may take a little while, and if you don't hear from them, send me a letter and I'll nag them. Okay? The other thing is, we're going to talk about the assignment that I will give after you come back, but again, you've got a lot of free time.
Work on it.
Work on it.
Yeah, don't go to Newport if I'm going
to get down. No, I'll go to Newport, all right.
Okay. So what you're going to get as your assignment the week after break is to write rock, paper, scissors.
I think I've done this before.
That's fine. Rock, paper, scissors. You're going to write rock, paper, scissors. Okay, now,
There are at least 10,000 solutions to this out on the web. Okay? If the solution that you pass into me uses more than I've taught you, then I'm going to say, explain to me how it works. Okay? Because I'm going to have a certain suspicion that it might not be your work. But if you can explain it and you can figure out how it works and everything, then there's some benefit in it. But I would like you to do your own, obviously. So you're going to have rock, paper, scissors. Okay? So, I assume you all know the rules for rock, paper, scissors. Okay? So, how many possibilities are there for this?
Nine.
Well, technically, okay. Less than that, because three of them are ties.
Yeah, mm. There's three ties, but...
So, if you have two people, you have the user, and you have the computer. Okay? Now, the computer is going to get its number how?
Random.
So that random number that I went over with you today, that's going to be the computer. And the computer can only get a random number. You want it to be 1, 2, or 3. Now, the easiest way to write this program is to say, I'm not going to deal with RPS. I'm going to deal with 1, 2, 3. Inside my program, I know that 1 means rock, 2 means paper, 3 means scissors. And it's a lot easier to deal with numbers than it is to say, okay, a 1 is a rock, is an R, and a 2 is, etc. It's just easier if you deal with it with numbers. If you want to deal with letters, that's fine, but the computer's going to generate numbers. You then have to convert them over to letters. So since the computer's going to generate numbers, it's easier if you have your user type in a number and you do the comparison. Then you can write out words about rock beats paper or whatever. You can write out any words you want. Okay, so if the user types in a 1, the computer can type have a 1, 2, or 3, right? So that's 3 possibilities. If the user types in a 1, the computer can have a 1, which means that you have a tie. If the computer has a 2, what does that mean? Who won?
Paper.
Paper versus rock. Paper covers rock. So the paper, the rock computer wins. That's what I was looking for. So the computer wins. Okay? Because if the computer has the 2, paper covers rock. Okay, 1 and 3, who wins?
The player.
Huh?
User wins.
User wins, because user type rock, rock crushes scissors, right?
Yeah.
So the user wins because they typed in the right thing to crush or whatever. Okay, so then 2 can also have a 1, 2, or 3, and 3 can have a 1, a 2, and a 3. Okay, so those are the 9 possibilities that you have.
Question, I already have this program. Can I do rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock?
Of course.
Nice. Can I play his rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock?
You can play it. You can even write it if you want to.
It's just longer.
Yeah, right. Because now you got choice of 1 to 5,
right.
And so you have a few more than 9 possibilities.
Yeah, 25 possibilities.
Yeah. So,
yes.
You can add 5 more in if you want to. Okay, so now 2 to 1 is a what?
3 wins. Paper beats rock, covers rock. User wins.
User wins?
User wins.
And what's 2 to 2?
Computer wins.
And what's 2 to 3?
Computer wins. Computer.
And 3 to 1.
Scissors.
I'm assuming you all are. I'm not even checking this. So what is the next one?
Computer.
Okay, scissors cuts paper. So, wait a minute.
No, we have those backwards.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
We have the, yeah, that one too.
Did we get 2 right? 2 and 1.
2 is paper. Paper covers.
2's correct.
So, paper covers, so what?
So, I'm using computer it. Wins on 3 to 1.
Okay. You, who, computer did you say?
Yes.
Player wins on 3 to 2.
Because you got scissors, you got rock.
Well, that's what has to be done.
Okay, I'm assuming you know what you're doing. Because I didn't check. Okay.
So there we have it. So we have those 5 possibilities. Now, if I look at these, just to cut my work down a little bit, the only ones I didn't have to look over and see what 1, 2, and 3 meant were ties, right? If you have a tie, you don't care whether it's rock, paper, or scissors. So you can kind of start this out by asking, is it a tie? And with that question, or the way you ask, is it a tie, you ask, does user equal computer? And if user equals computer, then you've eliminated 3 of them up front. Okay? If user doesn't equal computer, then you've got to ask about the others. Okay? So you're going to be doing something on the order of saying, if user equals 1, okay, then what am I going to test computer for?
If it has 1 also.
No, 2, because we already eliminated all the ties.
Oh, okay, so.
Right, so I have to test it for?
If computer has 2, and if computer right. has 2, then it wins.
Okay, so the computer has 2, if the user has 1, the computer has 2, computer then wins. The computer wins. Otherwise, that means it's 3, right? Because computer having 1 has already been taken care of within a tie. You can check for a tie up here. So that's already been taken care of. So I already know that it can't be, computer can't be a 1. Because that's taken care of with a tie. So computer has to be a 2 or a 3. So if I get a yes to it's a 2, if I get a no, it is a 3. If I get a no, it is a 3. And so that would mean the user won. Now, you can do this in a variety of ways. You can do simple if statements, and then you got a lot of if statements you're doing and a lot of curly braces to keep track of. Or you can do a compound where you think of all the thing combinations where the computer wins and write them all out. Or all the combinations where the user wins and write them all out. So you can do a kind of compound type situation, or you can do simple if situations. And it's kind of up to you how you want to write it. But what I wanted to do is go through and show who won. Now, in this case, a game is just one thing. So I want you to have in the do you want to play again thing in there. And so they can go yes or no and go back and play it. So I'm going to put up that assignment and I'll actually put it up this weekend so that you can read it. But basically it's to write rock, paper, scissors and to have the ability to play again. Okay? And that's going to be an assignment as of the week after vacation. But I just don't want anybody to get bored over vacation, so I figure I'll give it to you now. Because it's not really vacation, it's catch-up week. You know, you're not in college with vacations. No, 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 no. You've got catch-up weeks. Okay? All righty. I'm done. Have a nice catch-up week.